Tonight we'll begin our study in verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm still speaking about the scattered strangers. And this word scatter means to sow, helter skelter, hither and thither, and yon. And of course the word stranger has in it the idea someone who has not the same habits as those among whom they live. A stranger and an example of a stranger would be the Israelites in Egypt when they were in bondage. The Bible speaks of them as strangers and commands them to be compassionate to strangers because they had experienced being strangers when they were in the land of Egypt. So these people to whom Peter's writing are saved, baptized people of God, ones who believe in Jesus Christ, committed to him, who have been scattered by the Jewish persecution described in the book of Acts, and who are now living in these areas mentioned in the latter part of verse 1. They are the scattered ones, the scattered strangers. We notice that this letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and we've noticed what kind of man he was. We've looked at also the character of these people to whom Peter is written. They are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through or by sanctification of the Spirit. They are obedient unto Jesus Christ. They have been sprinkled in the blood of Jesus Christ, and they are greeted and encouraged to have grace and peace, that is, thankfulness and harmony among themselves, and for it to be continually multiplied. And then Peter writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now tonight I want us to think of these scattered strangers and ask of them who, what, how, and when. Scattered strangers. Who, what, how, and when. Now these questions are necessary for us to understand more about these people to whom Peter is writing. Now he writes, blessed are praise to the name of God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are to praise God as being the Father of the one whom they worship, the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, and this word abundant means many, according to his many, many mercies, he hath begotten us unto a living hope. Now you'll notice that Peter writes of them as having been begotten, hath begotten us again. The word begotten is a word that means regenerated, cause to have life again. Those who are begotten of God in this sense are the ones that have been born again according to the words of Jesus in John chapter 3 when he said, ye must be born again. Peter uses this phrase again in the same book that we're studying by saying that they have been born again of incorruptible seed. So these people, as to who they are people who have been begotten or regenerated by God the Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy. Now the word mercy here is singular, but it has in it the idea of multiplied mercies. Our salvation and our life as children of God is not the result of God having had mercy upon us at one particular point in our existence. But our salvation and our minute by minute, and hour by hour and day by day and week by week and year by year and decade by decade existence upon this earth is always according to the multiplied mercies of Almighty God. The scriptures state, were it not for the mercy of God, we would be consumed. According to his abundant mercy, who has begotten us unto a living hope. Now these are people who by the abundant mercies of Jesus Christ, through the power of God, have been born again and have been begotten unto a living hope. Now, this word living doesn't just mean happy. Sometimes it's translated unto a happy hope. That isn't the word. The word here is zoe. It's the very same word that we get zoology from, which is a study of life or living things. So we are begotten by the power and Spirit of God, according to the mercies of God, unto a living hope. Means to have life in any or all of its manifestations. And the word hope means expected good. Now, what do we possess? Who are these people? They are people who, because they've been regenerated, begotten of God, according to the mercies of God, now possess a living, expected good. It's not a dead hope, but it is a hope that is alive. It's something that has vitality. It is something that has strength. It is not something that is without life and without power. The hope we have in Christ Jesus is a living hope. It has strength. It has life, and this life is life that can never be brought to an end according to the Word of God. And this has been accomplished by the resurrection of Jesus. The Bible tells us that we're justified by His life, but we are saved. We are justified by His death, but we are saved by His life. And the word resurrection means simply to stand up. That's the meaning of the word. As of Jesus who was dead in the grave and then stood up, came out, and walked in full force of vital life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is as much a part of the gospel as is the death of Jesus Christ. We emphasize his death. We emphasize that he was buried. We must also emphasize that he was resurrected. This is the gospel of the Son of God. So these are people begotten of God. These are people who have been recipients of the abundant mercy of God. They're people who possess a living hope. And all of this has been accomplished by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Peter writes, to an inheritance, to an inheritance. It's not that we're simply saved from something in this life. There is something in the future. We have been born again. We have living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead. And this is to something. It's not simply from something, but it is to something. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So these are people who are born again. That's who they are. And they are born again to what? Well, the Bible says they're born again to an inheritance. And that's what we possess because we are in a particular family. If your father or your family possesses land or possesses a business, and you are a begotten son, then you normally possess an inheritance in those things that are owned or possessed by your father. When the father dies, then the children become the inheritors of that which he possessed. And even while the father is living, it is said of the children that they are to inherit that which their father possesses. Now this word inheritance is that which constitutes one a receiver of a portion. Literally, it designates not so much that which will be received as it does the receiver. It directs the attention primarily to the fact that we are inheritors rather than emphasizing the inheritance. So, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have begotten unto a lively or living hope. That is a justified expectation. And this justified expectation and this begetting is to an inheritance. We have become partners and we possess a portion of that which God Himself possesses, a portion of that which God has and is keeping for us. Now you'll notice that the inheritance that God has made us possessors of is an incorruptible inheritance. It is something, well, the word incorruptible here is sometimes translated immortal. Immortal means always living, never die. So the inheritance that we have because we have been begotten of the Spirit of God is one that is not subject to corruption. When I was pastor of Landmark Baptist Church in Forest City, I had a radio broadcast. And a man sent for me by some of our members, sent word by some of our members that he wanted to see me. His name was Eustace, and he was quite wealthy. He possessed a section of land that he had cleared and bought and saved and struggled to obtain. But he was elderly, sick, unable to attend church, had been listening to the radio broadcast that the church had provided for me, and he talked with me for a while. Said, I want to give you some money. I enjoy what you say. And I appreciate your messages. And we began to talk about his life that he had lived obtaining this section of very valuable land. And he said, Brother Penn, what I've tried to do, I have tried to make a will. And I have hired lawyers in Memphis. I've hired lawyers in Forest City. And I have tried to make a will so that this land can never leave the Eustace family. I intend for it to be kept by my children, by my grandchildren, by my great-grandchildren. I know how valuable it is. I do not trust them. And I'm afraid that they will just simply sell off 100 acres here and 100 acres there and 50 acres here, and finally it'll just be frittered away and they'll not have anything. And I want to make their inheritance, my grandchildren's inheritance, I want to make it positive and sure I want a well that cannot be broken. They don't make such a thing. And that property has already been broken up and sold. But that's not true of our inheritance. It is an incorruptible, a literally an immortal inheritance, undefiled. And that means unstained and unsoiled. That fadeth not away. I can remember when you didn't want blue jeans that faded. Can any of you? Now you want them all faded. In fact, you even pay to get them faded. And we used to pay to get ones that weren't faded. It shows you how strange y'all are. That fadeth not away. And that is implied, not blue jeans fading. We're not going to get a pair of blue jeans that won't ever fade. Now, don't misunderstand me. That's not what God is promising. That's what y'all were thinking already. Hey, a pair of blue jeans that'll never fade. No, that's not what God's promising us. It literally means something that does not diminish, something that cannot be subtracted or something taken from it. It is something so stable. You know, there are a few things in this life that are that stable. Something so stable that in eternity and through all of the ages that roll forever and ever, it can never be diminished. It can never be corrupted because it's undefiled. It can never be diminished because it fadeth not away. What is this? Well, it's our inheritance in Jesus Christ. You say, well, is it heaven? Yes. You say, is it my glorified body? Yes. You say, is it my happiness as I live in perfect relationship with God forever and ever? Yes. It is everything that God promises in His Word. That's our inheritance, not just one thing. The new heaven and the new earth. Freedom from sickness and the wiping away of all tears and the annihilation of all pain and the destruction of everything that causes heartache. These are parts of our inheritance. An inheritance reserved in heaven for you. And this reserved, a word that's translated reserved, means it has in it really a military context. And it doesn't mean something that is reserved because someone has got their eye on it and because they're watching it. Doesn't mean that. You know, we reserve some things because we get there first or we're watching it. That's that parking lot, parking space that opens. And you've got your eye on it, and it's reserved because you're looking at it, and then some little old lady pulls into it just before you get there. That it's not that kind of a reservation. It's literally something that is reserved because of power. Not because it just constantly watched, but because a power has decreed that it will be waiting when you get there. That makes more sense, doesn't it? Eternal, reserved in heaven. It is reserved not because we keep our eye on it and because we're faithful to God and because we strive and because we struggle and because we try and because we suffer and because of this and because of that. But our inheritance in Jesus Christ is reserved for us because God has decreed its reservation. That's what these people had in store for them. But how are they going to keep being faithful in the midst of all the trouble that we're going to see them getting into? How are they going to live a Christian life? Paul mentions in verse 7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes. He's talking now about their heaviness. He said, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. These people were not just going to someday face temptation. They were already in the midst of temptation. They were already in the midst of physical suffering. They were already scattered strangers. They had already suffered persecution. How? Well, Peter says, who are kept and this means also to guard. Not simply because someone is just sort of looking out for us. Who are kept by, notice, the power of God. Not our power. And the word power means inherent power. The very power that God has because He is God. No one gives God power. No one writes a note to God and authorizes God to have power. No king upon this earth decides that God can have power over this kingdom or that kingdom. No group of men ever assemble in legislatures and decide that they will designate power to God. The millions and trillions possessed by those who have wealth have never sat down and decided that they will, out of the goodness of their heart, designate a portion of power upon this earth or out of this earth to Almighty God. All power is given unto me in heaven. And it is this power. It is this power by which we are kept as the inheritors of the things of God. It has in it the capability of anything, the ability to perform. Not simply authority, but literally power. Power of the sun. Power of fusion. Power of atoms. Power in a seed as it bursts through the crust of the earth. The power of the mountains like St. Helens that erupt and the power that God exercises over principalities and power. Things subordinate to this power. Who are kept. Men, women, people who are born again, begotten of God, are kept by the power of God. So to go to heaven does not become our struggle. To become one who inherits the things of God does not become our suffering. And is not accomplished by our suffering and our self-denial, but was already and has been accomplished by the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ. And because of all that He did, we simply, through faith, appropriate His death, His sacrifice unto ourselves. And then we are assured by being begotten, born again, children of God, that through this power we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. But when? I think when is important. And Peter said, to be revealed in the last time. When Betty and I got married, she had some very strange habits.
Peculiar ways. Her family had peculiar ways.
Now, our family had always been sensible. And my father had always said it was not right to make children wait until Christmas to open their presents. That if something came through the mail from an aunt or uncle and it was the 23rd day of September, you opened it. If it was the 20th day of December, you opened it. He had judged it to be cruel and unusual punishment to withhold these things from the sight of his children. Well, he practiced it himself too. My wife and her family, being peculiar, insisted that you wait not until Christmas Eve, not until midnight, but Christmas morning. Nothing could be opened until Christmas morning. Well, it makes Christmas more enjoyable. And I've since learned to appreciate their peculiarities. But that doesn't keep me from being curious about the things that come and are placed in our home under the tree. And boys can spend hours poking and rattling and accidentally tripping over it to see if it does rattle and guessing. Then comes the hour. You tear open the wrapping, and there's the gift. Well, I've never seen my inheritance. My inheritance I have in God is by faith in Jesus Christ. But this word revealed has in it the idea of an unveiling or covering, to take away from and to expose to open view what was before hidden. Now, this inheritance is hidden from us right now. And I see it only by faith. That is the kingdom of God, the righteous rule of Jesus Christ, the coming of our Lord in glory, the wiping away of all tears, the reunion we will have with our loved ones who died in Christ Jesus. All these things are part of the things we'll have because we're inheritors. And Peter says, to be revealed, are opened, to be opened in the last time. And I rather suspect and believe literally with all my heart that God knows what he's doing. And the revelation or the opening, all the gifts that God gives to humanity will be accomplished in its proper time. But if you've been born again, if you've been begotten of God, you've got all of this to be received and behold and have for all eternity. He said, but what if I lose it? Who are kept by the power of God. God's keeping it for you, and he's keeping you. It's just a matter of time.